The Ring and the Book by Robert Browning. Book 6. Giuseppe Caponsacchi. Part 1. Answer, you sirs. Do I understand aright? Have patience. In this sudden smoke from hell, so things disguise themselves, I cannot see my own hand held this broad before my face and know it again. Answer, you. Then that means tell over twice what I the first time told 6 months ago. 'Twas here, I do believe, fronting you same three in this very room, I stood and told you. Yet now no one laughs who then... Nay, dear my lords, but laugh you did. As good as laugh, what in a judge we style laughter. No levity? Nothing indecorous, lords? Only, I think I apprehend the mood. There was the blameless shrug, permissible smirk, the pen's pretense at play with the pursed mouth, the titter stifled in the hollow palm which rubbed the eyebrow and caressed the nose when I first told my tale. They meant, you know, the sly one, all this we are bound believe. Well, he can say no other than he says. We have been young, too. Come, there's greater guilt. Let him but decently disembroil himself, scramble from out the scrape, nor move the mud. We solid ones may risk a finger stretch. And now, you sit as grave, stare as aghast, as if I were a phantom. Now 'tis, friend, collect yourself. No laughing matter more. Counsel the court in this extremity. Tell us again. Tell that, for telling which, I got the jocular piece of punishment, was sent to lounge a little in the place whence now of a sudden here you summon me to take the intelligence from just your lips. You, Judge Tomati, who then tittered most, that she I helped 8 months since to escape her husband, was retaken by the same. 3 days ago, if I have seized your sense, I being disallowed to interfere, meddle or make in a matter none of mine. For you and law were guardians quite enough of the innocent without a pert priest's help. And that he has butchered her accordingly, as she foretold, and as myself believed. And so, foretelling and believing so, we were punished, both of us, the merry way. Therefore, tell once again the tale. For what? Pompilia is only dying while I speak. Why does the mirth hang fire and miss the smile? My masters, there's an old book you should con for strange adventures, applicable yet, 'tis stuffed with. Do you know that there was once this thing? A multitude of worthy folk took recreation, watched a certain group of soldiery intent upon a game. How first they wrangled, but soon fell to play. Threw dice, the best diversion in the world. A word in your ear. They are now casting lots. Ay, with that gesture quaint and cry uncouth, for the coat of one murdered an hour ago. I am a priest. Talk of what I have learned. Pompilia is bleeding out her life belike, gasping away the latest breath of all, this minute, while I talk. Not while you laugh? Yet, being sobered now, what is it you ask by way of explanation? That's the fact. It seems to fill the universe with sight and sound, from the four corners of this earth, tells itself over, to my sense at least. But you may want it lower set in the scale. Too vast, too close, it clangs in the ear, perhaps. You'd stand back, just to comprehend it more. Well then, let me, the hollow rock, condense the voice of the sea and wind, interpret you the mystery of this murder. God above, it is too paltry such a transference of the storm's roar to the cranny of the stone. This deed you saw begin, why does its end surprise you? Why should the event enforce the lesson we ourselves learned, she and I, from the first of the fact, and taught you all in vain? This Guido, from whose throat you took my grasp, Was this man to be favored now or feared? Let do his will or have his will restrained in the relation with Pompilia? Say! Did any other man need interpose? Oh, though first comer, though as strange as the work, as fribble must be, coxcomb, fool that's neared a knave, as, say, a priest who fears the world. Was he bound brave the peril, save the doomed? Or go on, sing his snatch and pluck his flower, keep the straight path and let the victim die? I held so. You decided otherwise. Saw no such peril, therefore no such need to stop song, loosen flower, and leave path. Law was aware and watching, would suffice. What had no priest's intrusion, palpably, pretense, too manifest a subterfuge? Whereupon I, priest, coxcomb, fribble, and fool, ensconced me in my corner, thus rebuked, a kind of culprit, overzealous hound, kicked for his pains to kennel. I gave place to you, and let the law reign paramount. I left Pompilia to your watch and ward, and now you point me. There and thus she lies. Men, for the last time, what do you want with me? Is it, you acknowledge, as it were, a use, a profit in employing me? At length, I may conceivably help the august law? I am free to break the blow, next hawk that swoops on next dove, nor miss much of good repute? Or what if this your summons, after all, be but the form of mere release, no more, which turns the key and lets the captive go? I have paid enough in person at Civita, am free. What more need I concern me with? Thank you. I am rehabilitated, then, a very reputable priest. But she, the glory of life, the beauty of the world, the splendor of heaven. Well, sirs, does no one move? Do I speak ambiguously? The glory, I say, and the beauty, I say, and the splendor, still say I, who priest and trained to live my whole life long on beauty and splendor solely at their source, God, have thus recognized my food in her. You tell me, that's fast dying while we talk, Pompilia. How does lenity to me remit one deathbed pang to her? Come, smile, the proper wink at the hot-headed youth who lets his soul show, through transparent words, the mundane love that's sin and scandal too. You are all struck acquiescent now, it seems. It seems the oldest, gravest signor here, even the redoubtable Tomati, sits chop-fallen, understands how law might take service like mine of brain and heart and hand in good part. Better late than never. Law, you understand of a sudden, gospel too, has a claim here. May possibly pronounce, consistent with my priesthood, worthy Christ, that I endeavored to save Pompilia? Then, you were wrong, you see. That's well to see, though late. That's all we may expect of man, this side the grave. His good is knowing he is bad. Thus will it be with us when the books ope, and we stand at the bar on judgment day. Well then, I have a mind to speak. See cause to relume the quenched flax by this dreadful light. Burn my soul out in showing you the truth. I heard last time I stood here to be judged what is priest's duty. Labor to pluck tares and weed the corn of Molinism. Let me make you hear this time how in such a case man, be he in the priesthood or at plough, mindful of Christ or marching step by step with, what's his style, the other potentate, who bids have courage and keep honor safe, nor let minuter admonition tease? How he is bound, better or worse, to act. Earth will not end through this misjudgment, no. For you and the others like you, sure to come, fresh work is sure to follow, wickedness that once withstanding. many a man of blood, many a man of guile will clamor yet, bid you redress his grievance as he clutched the prey. Forsooth, a stranger stepped between, and there's the good gripe in pure waste. My part is done. In the doing it, I pass away out of the world. I want no more with earth. Let me, in heaven's name, use the very snuff of the taper. In one last spark shall show truth for a moment. Show Pompilia who was true. Not for her sake, but yours. If she is dead, oh, sirs, she can be loved by none of you, most or least priestly. Saints to do us good must be in heaven, I seem to understand. We never find them saints before, at least. Be her first prayer, then, presently, for you. She has done the good to me. What is all this? There. I was born, have lived, shall die, a fool. This is a foolish outset. Might with cause give color to the very lie of the man, the murderer. Make as if I loved his wife in the way he called love. He is the fool there. Why, had there been in me the touch of taint, I had picked up so much of knave's policy as hide it. Keep one hand pressed on the place suspected of a spot would damn us both. Or no, not her. Not even if any of you dares think that I, in the face of death, her death, that's in my eyes and ears and brain and heart, lie. If he does, let him. I mean to say, so he stopped there. Stay thought from smirching her, the snow-white soul that angels fear to take untenderly. But all the same, I know I too am taintless, and I bare my breast. You can't think, men as you are, all of you, that to hear thus suddenly such an end of such a wonderful white soul that comes, of a man and murderer calling the white black, must shake me, trouble and disadvantage. Sirs, only 17. Why, good and wise you are. You might at the beginning stop my mouth, so none would be to speak for her that knew. I talk impertinently, and you bear all the same. This it is to have to do with honest hearts. They easily may err, but in the main they wish well to the truth. You are Christians. Somehow, no one ever plucked a rag even from the body of the Lord to wear and mock with, but despite himself, he looked the greater and was better. Yes, I shall go on now. Does she need or not, I keep calm. Calm I'll keep, as monk that croons, transcribing battle, earthquake, famine, plague, from parchment to his cloister's chronicle. Not one word more from the point now. I begin. End of part 1 of book 6.